Where are we? Because I didn't have my book the last time.
Well, if you put the in the right place, the marker.
I think so.
It was 254.
254. Yeah, well, we didn't get very far. 254. Yes, exiled them from the lake. Okay, will you start?
Okay.
Oh no. If I see, just there, and now here, looking just the same, which is Dwarka. That's a far out scene for Dwarka. It's a horrible, looks like they bought some antique tile to stick on the floor.
Oh, you look at the painting.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it should be a city.
It should
be a city. It looks like, I don't know, the Alps or something. That wasn't so. He's good at, sort of good at figures, but not very good when it comes to composition. That's got pillars holding up trees.
That's what it looks like. Okay, text 254.
Shoot.
Out of sheer spontaneous joy, the throng of cowherd men and women celebrated a charming festival of music, song, and other expressions of gaiety. Completely satisfied, Krishna returned to his village. Once the two great demons, Keshi and Arista, came to Vraj, they were favorite servants of wicked Kamsa, visible manifestations of his life air.
Interesting statement. Visible manifestations of his life air. Isn't it? Far out statement.
Yeah. I guess it kind of depicts how closely they related they were with him in thought.
Mm.
The first of these two assumed the form of a huge horse, the other a bull. They terrified the cowherds, trampling the land of Gokul. Both at once, they entered the cowherd village, their vast bodies touching the sky, the auroras throwing everyone to the ground. Commentary. The pastime of subduing Kaliya involved the combined rasas of pathos and heroism, but the next pastime recounted is one of pure heroism, Virarasa. In this instance, the two famous demons Keshi and Arista, friends of Kamsa, arrived in Vraj at the same time. Assuming animal bodies abnormally large, they terrified the cowherd village and harassed the cows, trampling them with heavy feet. Srila Sanatana Goswami says the demons harassed Gokula. He uses this word to mean both the cowherd village and the herds of cows.
Trampling them with heavy feet?
Almost seems to imply that it was serious bodily harm.
Hmm?
It almost seems to imply that there was serious bodily harm done to the cows.
Yeah. In Gokula, and in Goloka.
Well, this is Gokula.
of Goloka. Remember, we're in Goloka. This happens every day. Are we in Goloka or Goku?
must be.
We're in Goloka.
Text 258. Though Krishna's frightened loved ones tried to stop Krishna, pulling him back with all their might, Krishna reassured them, showing the courage of a hero. He slapped his arm with his hand and went forward to confront the demons. Commentary. Frightened by this monstrous horse and bull, the men and women of the cowherd community wanted to prevent Krishna from going near the demons. Keshi, running very fast, appeared before Krishna first, and Krishna, with a kick, tossed him far away. Krishna next found Arishta, the bull, pierced a hole in his nose, tied him up, and brought him before Lord Shiva, Gopeshwar. Commentary. Since horses generally travel faster than bulls, Krishna first encountered Keshi. Krishna kicked the horse demon so far away that he was unlikely ever to come back. Krishna then subdued Arishta and offered him to Sri Gopeshwar, the famous Shivalinga of the Vrindavan forest, to remain sitting before Gopeshwar Mahadev, tied up for safekeeping, as Lord Gopeshwar's carrier, so that Arishta would not be free to wander about and cause more trouble. Then Keshi, the horse, returned, but powerful Krishna, whose valor never falters, jumped up and forcibly mounted him. Training him to move here and there, Krishna splendidly displayed his own prowess by taming Keshi completely. Commentary. How could Krishna have brought Arishta to Gopeshwar and then returned so quickly to meet Keshi? Krishna is Ananda Vikrama, anything but slow. His abilities have no limit.
Ananda Vikrama.
Oh, Ananda Vikrama.
Ananda Vikrama. So he... Ananda Vikramo.
Ananda means never hesitant.
Never hesitant, whose valor never hesitates. Ananda Vikrama. Good name. Anything but slow.
Krishna had thousands of his friends also mount the horse, and with his swift hand made the horse jump in many ways, allowing these friends to roam both the earth and the sky. Thus he took his pleasure. Having brought the horse under his control in no time, Krishna tied him up with ropes and kept him within the cowherd village for the entertainment of riding. And for pulling carts, he also kept the bull. Commentary. Krishna took Arishta, whom he had placed before Sri Gopeshwar, and kept him in the cow pasture for pulling carts.
So, two demons, which sort of indicates that, first of all, he didn't kill them, which is the differences in Gokula. And second, he keeps them. Well, they sort of, they become transformed into the devotees. They become part of the herd, pulling carts. Just Arista becomes part of the herd. Keshi's, you know, horse. He rides around. So
I guess it's definitely different narration than Gokul. Krishna puts his fist in Keshi's throat and
kills him.
Kills him. Rishte throws, right? Doesn't he throw him and kill him that way?
So he kills them both. And here, it's somewhat of an indication of what are they. Were they ever demons, or are they just sort of Yogamaya's manifestations? Were they devotees who, like Jayant Vijay, who were used in that way? One thing is that, which I guess is very, very applicable here in the world, is that Krishna will put devotees into difficulty, and it's over and over again that happens, that Krishna puts the devotees in difficulty. Here, he puts them in difficulty as part of a pastime. They have no karma. Has a pastime. So even devotees who may not have much karma, must have some little karma, but even if they're freed from all other kinds of karma, still, as part of his pastime, for some purpose that we see later, then Krishna puts them into difficulty, and the devotees need to accept that fact.
Are you talking about in Gokul, or are you talking about just devotees in general?
Yeah, I'm talking about now devotees just in general, devotees in ISKCON, devotees in the world, you, me, and everybody else, not moan too much when there's problems.
Of course, the devotee is always supposed to see it as due to his own past.
Hmm?
The devotee is supposed to himself always supposed to see it as due to his past activities.
Yes, yes.
He may observe others in the way that you described.
Yeah. Why is this happening to somebody? Of course. But here they have no past, and now this is going to go on forever.
Yeah, that's a hard one to understand, how it goes on forever, because you seem to be suggesting that, okay, now they're devotees.
At least now they may end up disappearing and everyone forgets about them, just like they forget about the Leela.
Yeah, and like they forget, you know, like Kangsa. Yeah, Kangsa's killed.
Yeah, and and Arista and everybody else they can't be staying there under the same name and everything. Otherwise, you know, it's remembrance of the Leela and that there was a Kamsa and that Krishna. So, what does it mean for Krishna's killing someone in Goloka?
It doesn't.
What, Kamsa? Says he killed Kamsa.
Well, I thought Kamsa's just a rumor.
I only have to ask the residents of Mathura. What they see. What do they see when Krishna comes in town? He's very brief about these things. Nandishwara Puri Tatra.
One day while Krishna was living in the town of Nandishwara, Akura came on Kamsa's order to take Krishna from Braj to Madhupuri. Commentary. The next pastime, described in texts 263 through 344, is one of pure extreme pathos, Karuna Ras. Both in Goloka and in the earthly Gokula, Nandishwara Hill is the site of Nanda Maharaj's residence. The Vrindavan pastimes thus far related by Sri Swarup happened mostly in the forests, but on this occasion Krishna was at home in Nandagram.
Okay, now here we go again.
What?
He's going again.
If stones, logs, and other inert objects, even from other places, hear what happened then in Vraj, they cry and shatter to pieces. Commentary. We have already been told about the exceptional ecstatic symptoms of the trees and rocks of Vrindavan, but now we are informed that such objects, even outside Krishna's abode, are devastated when they hear the pastime of Akuras taking Krishna away from Vraj. Outside Krishna's abode. Outside Krishna's abode?
Or Dwarka.
I guess these references are any stones, any log, or any inert object from other places. That's pretty.
What? Are we devastated?
Huh?
Are we devastated?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm not devastated. We read it and let's keep reading. See what happens. Maybe we'll get devastated.
I'm not sure I'm ready for it yet.
Really?
Well, as long as it's the right kind of devastation.
Well, I don't did it. But you see what's happening is the resident, you know, we're supposed to be going up to Vaikuntha where there's no anxiety, and all it is they're constantly in anxiety.
Yeah. Their anxiety.
How translated this word, Vaikuntha.
But their anxiety is the highest ecstasy.
It is, but it has symptoms of anxiety. Anyway, let's see if we can enter into that kind of pathos.
The night the residents of Gokul heard the news that Akura had arrived, they all lamented profusely in various ways. They cried and fainted again and again. Commentary, the Vrajavasis all knew who Akura was and why he had come. Yasoda, her son, her very life, was terrified of wicked Kamsa, hiding herself and hiding Krishna by keeping him covered with her cloth. She uttered special vows for his protection. Commentary, Mother Jasoda was aware of how difficult it would be to keep Krishna hidden. Her only hope was to recite magic incantations. You want to read?
When Nanda woke up in the morning, Akura explained things and presented numerous arguments to convince him. Nanda in turn convinced his sobbing wife and then brought Krishna outside. Commentary. Akura reminded Nanda how wicked Kamsa was. It assured Nanda that Krishna was fully capable of dealing with the evil king. Nanda had no choice but to let Krishna go to the aid of their friends in Mathura. Text. The gopis watched helplessly as if Nanda were depriving them of their life heirs, and without shame cried out in agonized voices, "Alas, alas." Commentary. By sending Krishna away, Nanda Maharaj was taking away the gopis' very life. But when Nanda personally escorted Krishna out of the house to the awaiting Akrura, there was nothing the gopis could do but stare incredulously. Text. Then Yashoda came outside. Miserable, wiping the torrents of tears from her eyes, she took her son's hand and placed it in the hand of Akrura, the son of Shvapalka, as if giving Krishna to him for safekeeping. Commentary. In the civil law discussed in Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, Nyas or Nikshepa is a major topic. When a person deposits property with someone for safekeeping, the person holding the property is held very responsible. Anyone found guilty of betraying their trust, for example, by failing to return the property to its legitimate owner, the government should punish severely. Text, she then told Nanda, I place in your hands this son, more dear to me than life and wealth. Don't trust anyone. Just bring him back here to my side and return him to my hand. Commentary. In her own oblique way, Yashoda advises her husband not to place too much trust in Akrura. Text. Having made that agreement, the faithful wife Yashoda, so pained by the weight of love for her son that she fainted again and again, returned without Krishna to her lonely home. A great lamentation arose from the women of Braj. Commentary. Seeing Krishna about to leave, the women of Braj now lost all hope. Text. Even today, remembrance of that scene makes stones cry. Trees shed tears and lightning bolts shatter. All living beings are submerged in an ocean of grief if they don't at once give up their lives. Text. Simple-hearted Yashoda told the ladies of Braj all sorts of things, trying to console them, but their minds were immersed in a vast ocean of pain and sorrow, and so they answered her with anger. Commentary. Yashoda suggested to the ladies that because she had turned her son Krishna over to Akrura, the son of a Muni, and to Nanda Maharaj, there was no reason to worry about him. One can assume that anything left on deposit with a sainted person is safe. I'm sure the Akrura will come back soon with my husband to return Krishna to me. She was too simple-hearted to question Akrura's promise, even though she knew he could be duplicitous. Text. O merciless woman, devoid of sense, just see, you have offered your own calf into the hands of a tiger. This empty house is fit to burn down. How can you enter it alone? Commentary. Even a less intelligent animal like a cow would never willingly allow a tiger to take away her calf. How then could Yashoda have offered her son to Kamsa's servant? And after doing so, how could she have returned alone to a home devoid of Krishna's presence? Text. Reviling Yashoda and the others and cursing Akrura, the ladies burst out of their homes, frenzied by misery, and rushed after Lord Krishna, calling out to him and crying pitifully. That's a wonderful scene. Commentary. After Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj was next to receive the ladies' censure. They also blamed the other responsible cowards for not objecting. Text. This crying, this extreme sorrow, this insufferable pain made everyone else cry as well. Akrura and Nanda, Balaram and the cowards, and even beloved Krishna who had mounted Akrura's chariot. All the residents of Braj were bewildered. Text. After a moment, Krishna, the life and soul of the young gopis, came to his senses. He saw the gopis apparently on the verge of death, and he got down from the fine chariot to revive them, surrounded by them, and unseen by others, he went into a forest grove. Now, I got the impression right now that we were talking about old gopis.
Because the younger gopis wouldn't be so visible.
Told the ladies of Braj all sort of things to console them. Yashoda suggested to the ladies. Yeah, I got the impression they were the elder ladies. But now it seems like they're the young gopis. I guess I got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Did it sound like they were older ladies, wasted ladies?
What was first introduced, you mean?
Well, when...
Told the ladies of Raj.
Yeah, 273. All sorts of...
yeah, it does.
A great lament.
It does look like it was the older gopis.
Having made agreement, the faithful wife you saw, pained by weight of the sun, again returned without Krishna to her lonely home. A great lament then arose from the woman of Raj, Sinkrishna. The woman of Raj now lost all hope. I guess, because now all of a sudden he's saying the life of the young gopis. Svastayam kshanat prapya sagopika agatis. Young gopika means young gopis. Okay. Text. When Kamsa's messenger Akura came back to himself and saw that Krishna was not on the chariot, he felt remorse for having allowed this to happen. With clever words, he then tried to win the confidence of Balaram. He described how agonized were Devaki, Vasudev, and all the Yadavas only on account of Krishna. Text. Lord Balaram, Krishna's older brother, the divine son of Rohini and Vasudev, then went with his uncle Akura to search for Krishna. By certain signs, he was able to locate the grove. Commentary. Like Krishna, Balaram is also called Vasudev because he is the son of Vasudev by another wife. Akura used Lord Balaram's inability to tolerate Vasudev's suffering as leverage to secure Balaram's help in finding Krishna. Once Balaram agreed to bring Krishna back, it was easy to spot Krishna's footprints and follow them to the place where Krishna and the gopis had gone. Finding Krishna surrounded by the gopis, text, Balaram stood at a distance, but Akura in a tearful voice spoke out so that Krishna would hear these words. Text. Shriman Akura said, evil Kamsa unceasingly harasses your old parents. Sword held high, he is ready to kill them. Surely you should not neglect them. Your devotee is so burdened by fear, by sorrow, by pain. Sometimes some of the grammar I can't dig. It's a little too obtuse. Archaic. Commentary. Akura is trying to impress upon Krishna that Krishna should not neglect the plight of his helpless elderly parents. There is every chance that Kamsa will kill them. They are terrified of Kamsa and sorrowful because they cannot see their son and pained by Kamsa's slander of Krishna. And there is no time to delay. Even if Kamsa does not murder them, their own distress could kill them. Sounds like Vasudev and Devaki are also not being spared. Text. The Yadavas have no shelter but you. All in great distress, their eyes fixed upon the path for my return, they are burning in a fire of lamentation. They all live in terror of Kamsa, and so also do the demigods, Brahmins, and other exalted persons. Don't deprive them of hope. Commentary. Vasudeva and Devaki are not the only ones suffering with no hope of relief but Krishna. So too are all the members of the Yadu clan. Related to him both by family ties and by devotion, they look only to him for their salvation. They are already in great anxiety because Akura has not yet returned to Mathura with Krishna, and if Akura returns without him, they will be devastated. By the very nature of the Yadu's pure love for Krishna, they are Maharta, greatly distressed, and Shokotapta, burned by sorrow. Now, on top of that, they should not be hatasha, deprived of their last hope. And besides the Yadava princes, yet others depending on Krishna to save them from Kamsa's terror include demigods like Indra, learned Brahmins like Garga, and all the cows and Vaishnavas. Text. Kamsa, the subduer of demigods, always brags about the strength of his own arms. He has no regard for anyone. He's constantly worshipped by demons like himself, some impotent, some very powerful, and by the rulers of men. Commentary. When Krishna fails to respond, the Kurava tries to change Krishna's mood from compassion to anger. In the beginning of a Kurava statement, he refers to Kamsa merely as he. In other words, so numerous and abominable are Kamsa's bad qualities that his name is not to be mentioned. His many demon friends in Mathura help increase his influence, and they share his arrogance and other bad qualities. Powerful demonic rulers of other kingdoms like Bana and Boma also support him. So, I mean, there's some picture of them being around as well.
Being around, meaning?
Banasura,
oh.
Bomasura, and that they have kingdoms. Probably a rumor, but...
You're right. Right.
Who knows? You want to continue? I got a horrible, horrible headache.
Uh-huh. Okay. Sri Sarupa said, Akura, having said this, took blades of grass between his teeth and cried plaintively again and again. Then that person named Uncruel, who had a most brutal duty to perform, offered his obeisances to all the women of Raj, one by one. Commentary. When Krishna still didn't leave the grove, Akura, knowing Krishna to be controlled by his dearest devotees, appealed to the gopis, approached them with all the humility he could muster. This wasn't easy because despite Akura's name, taking Krishna to Mathura was the cruelest thing anyone could do to them. I keep on thinking of the picture when Krishna was bewildered, when he was in the first part, when he was walking down, when he thought he thought he was walking to the Yamuna River, and then he saw it was a huge ocean. When he thought he was in Vrindavan, wasn't it Balaram had to say something to him also, to change his mood, to immediately convince him to go back to Dwarka again for the same reason, that because he was needed there.
Official business, yeah.
Yeah. Because Krishna was bewildered and went, wait a minute, this isn't the Yamuna River. Wait a minute, this isn't Vrindavan. Wait a minute, where am I? Who am I?
Yeah.
And then, I think it was Balaram, right? They had to immediately put him in the mood to get him to go back.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Balaram was there and playing the part while Krishna was interacting with the deities.
Right. So Kura's doing the same thing here. Srimana Kura said, don't be death for the descendants of the Yadu dynasty and for all the people of the world. Please have mercy on them. Dear goddesses, Krishna's wretched parents are imprisoned by Kamsa. Please help rescue them. Commentary. Everyone was afraid of Kamsa, including the cowherds of Raj. Were Krishna now to come to Mathura, the lives of many innocent persons would be at risk, and the first to be killed might well be Vasudeva and Devaki. Therefore, the gopis should be merciful by consenting to Krishna's departure, giving their blessings for an auspicious journey. The divine gopis said, you great cheat, you speaker of falsehoods, you follower of Kamsa, how can those you speak of be Krishna's parents? These two boys are the sons of Nanda and Yasoda. Don't murder Gokul. Do not become a killer of women. commentary. Why do the gopis call the son of Shvapalka Muni, a great cheat and liar? Because he is a follower of Kamsa. The gopis' statement that Vasudeva and Devaki cannot be Krishna's parents is correct in the sense that Vasudeva and Devaki are really his unalloyed devotees, acting as his parents, roles they accept only for his service. By telling Akura not to kill the people of Gokul, and especially not to become a killer of women, the gopis mean to say that his immediate concern should not be over Vasudeva and Devaki. The threat of their being killed lies in the future, and enough time remains for measures to prevent such a tragedy. The threat, however, that Akura will become the direct cause of the deaths of the inhabitants of Gokula, including the cows and women, is imminent. Akura should therefore think twice before committing these terrible sins. Sri Sarup said, when Krishna heard of wicked Kamsa's deeds, when he heard of the misery he himself had caused his own relatives, and when he saw that Balaram agreed with Akura, he apologized to the gopis and, showing anger and sadness, he left the grove. Commentary. The anger Krishna felt was directed solely at Kamsa, and the sorrow he felt was for his faultless devotees. He interpreted his elder brother's silence as a sign that Lord Balaram accepted Akura's proposal to take him to Madhupuri. Akura was overjoyed with Balaram's permission. He quickly left the grove and ran to bring the chariot. When the gopis understood that Krishna was about to leave for the city, they fixed their eyes on his lotus face. In dread of the imminent fire of separation, they cried and spoke to Krishna falling at his feet, at his lotus feet. Commentary. For the gopis to address Krishna so boldly in public might have appeared audacious, but they were afraid of burning up in the fire of separation. And besides, the gopis are not the only devotees who sometimes frankly express their agony to Krishna in the presence of others. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.23.29, we hear from the wives of the Vedic Brahmins, "O Almighty One, please do not speak such cruel words. Rather, you should fulfill your promise that you always reciprocate with your devotees in kind. Now that we have attained your lotus feet, we simply wish to remain here in the forest, so we may carry upon our heads the garlands of tulsi leaves you may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships." Next text. The divine gopi said, "O Master, we cannot live even a moment without you. We have no other shelter. Do not abandon us, your maidservants. O Lord, take us with you wherever you go. For the sake of you, the forests have become our homes, and our homes, forests. Our enemies, our friends, and our friends' enemies. Poison, sweet nectar, and nectar, poison. Without you, we will die."
That's a really beautiful verse. Vanam griham no bhavad alayo vanam dvishat surid bandhu ganashavairina bisham chapi yusham utamritam bisham yadartam asmat vadrite mriyam hi. For the sake of you, in other words, for your sake, the forests have become our homes and our homes forests. Our enemies are friends, and our friends' enemies. Poison sweet as nectar, and nectar poison. Without you, we will die. It's beautiful.
Enemies are friends.
Enemies, friends. Oh yeah.
Can you explain?
Who's the enemies that have become friends?
Who are the enemies that have become friends? I can understand friends' enemies.
Mm-hmm. Other gopis. In one sense, they're also participants in the same situation. Competitors.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's that we haven't read the commentary. Commentary. The gopis are sure that if Krishna refuses to accept their prayer, they will very soon die. After all, didn't Krishna turn their lives upside down? The forests were their homes because in the forest they enjoyed Krishna's company. And their homes were like an empty wilderness because Krishna wasn't there. Yeah, their rivals for Krishna's affection. Uh-huh. were actually friends, because with the help of those friends they were able to meet Krishna. And by preventing the gopis from going to Krishna, their husbands and children acted as enemies. In fact, the gopis' love for Krishna was so potent that it even transformed poisonous substances into the most palatable nectar. And for the gopis eager to die in the torment of separation, poison became attractive. Nectarian things like moonlight, sandalwood paste, and nice food were like poison for the gopis, because the gratification afforded by such things impeded their association with Krishna. And when they were suffering separation from him, their so-called pleasures became unbearable. Sri Narada has already explained to Gopal Kumara why pure love for Krishna affected the gopis in these strange ways. Pretty thorough explanation.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty thorough explanation.
Yeah, very nice.
How could we not die a slow death if we could no longer see anywhere your beautiful smiling face, your all-attractive lotus feet, and your chest adorned by all splendor? Commentary. When Krishna was getting ready to leave for Mathura, he suggested to the gopis, "I am going to Mathura to satisfy my well-wishers there, who have no goal in life but me. Until I return, you can keep yourselves happy by hearing, chanting, and remembering my glories." This is the gopis' answer. If for any length of time the gopis cannot see Krishna's face anywhere, kutopi, either in his home or in the forest, they will surely die. Krishna might also try to excuse himself by saying that if because of him his friends in Mathura remain unhappy, his reputation will be ruined. But, with Katopi construed as for whatever reason, the gopis would respond, "We do not care what reason you have. If you leave us, we will die a slow death." Next verse, when you go off to the Vrindavan forest with your friends, eager to enjoy your cowherd pastimes, we manage to pass our days only with difficulty by holding on to the hope that in the evening you will certainly return. Commentary. Only for at best a few hours can the gopis tolerate the pain they feel from Krishna's absence. If ever an evening were to pass without his coming home from the forest, their lives would be finished. But if you go so far away on the order of wicked Kamsa to the city and the company of his friends, how shall we be able to live? Thinking of the pain you will suffer away from home and of what might happen to you, will be distraught with all sorts of worries. Commentary. Krishna might assert that in the big city he will be able to take care of himself with the same power he showed when he subdued Kaliya. But still he is bound to feel homesick. The gopis cannot bear to think of Krishna suffering in any way. Thinking of the sense of time.
The?
Thinking of the sense of time in Goloka. We always think that time is conspicuous by its absence, that it's manifest only to enhance Krishna's pastimes. But it seems that there are variations of time, obviously, which distinguish Krishna's entering into the pasturing grounds and Krishna's going to Mathura. I guess it's, again, just to serve the pastime.
Yeah, there's, you know, yeah, Krishna went this morning, and so, you know, that was in the morning, isn't it?
So the gopis are thinking, but he's coming back soon. Yeah. So we can tolerate.
But time as the controller, here time is the servant. Time is the controller of everyone's karma. Time is actually the cause of creation. Time is not the cause here. Time is just an instrument, an effect.
No destructive features.
No destructive features. Maybe sense of destruction, but...
Sense of destruction, you're right. Separation.
But it's, material world. Time is what makes the whole material world happen. Time is what... unravels karma, what makes karma happen. None of these things are there, but it's there in a different way. It's there because it's a reflection of here. And even in Vaikuntha, same. You know that Manjari told me this, it's just because I just saw this Na Gyayate. But we say, Prabhupada would say Gyan, the Gyanis. She said it actually isn't pronounced like that, Gyan. It's, I forget how it's pronounced. It's, you pronounce the N as well.
Janani?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she hears this, she'll know what it is. Write me, but it's like, you know, Kshatriya and so on. Prabhupada's Bengali pronunciation of Sanskrit. Okay, last verse by gopis.
Sri Sarup said, thus the gopis uttered many pitiful laments.
No, did we read the last one, 296?
Oh, did we? Oh, you're right. We cannot imagine how much trouble you will have to endure to kill Kanksa and his followers, nor how long it will take to wipe out the misery of the people of Mathura. Nor can we be sure you will remember us. Commentary. Krishna might argue that because his dear cows, his young friends, and his father will accompany him to Mathura, he will not become too homesick. So here the gopis give other reasons for their distress, conceding that to kill Kanksa and many other demons would be mere play for Krishna. The desires of all his devotees in Mathura will take a long time to satisfy. And if Krishna were to insist that because of remembering his dear girlfriends, he could not stay away very long, the gopis would answer, "No, we are not so confident. You will even remember us."
There's, when I was writing Krishna Sankti, there was a lot in different books. I don't remember, Garga Samhita and Brahma Vaivarta and other Puranas about gopis, about this conversation and Akrura coming. And I've seen as nice. Mother Yashoda tries to hide Krishna behind the curtain.
Here.
It's not here.
Under the sheets, didn't she say that?
No, just chanted different mantras. And Yashoda was terrified, hiding herself and hiding Krishna, but he covered with her cloth.
Oh, her cloth. Yeah.
And it was hide behind the curtain. Take him different places. Okay, you hide here. And then, oh no, now you go here, take him, hide him there.
Yeah, when we were reading that, it seemed like Yasoda was, she was, you would expect her to be more resistant.
And there it's, elsewhere it's clear that when she goes back to the palace, it's the elder ladies who really become really, really aggressive, and they run out, and then and the gopis is a whole different thing. In fact, while they're getting, I think, when they're really on Nanda, that's when Krishna and the gopis go off, young gopis go off.
When the elderly gopis are getting on.
And the gopis say things, if I remember right, "Well, we don't care if they die. What's, well, so they die, we die. Someone's got to die."
That's their argument.
There's one. There's a lot of things. Yeah. But that's Gokula. Now those are Gokula. This is the only Goloka. And it goes back and then it starts again. And constantly in anxiety. Where's the Vaikuntha in this? This is like Akunta.
Especially some of the descriptions. We read when was Uddhava entered Vrindavan and saw everyone's complete lamentation. I mean, they were dried up, everyone is lifeless. The description, where is that description? I'm trying to remember. It's in very many places, but specifically trying to remember a very, very graphic description of the lifelessness of everybody's...
Well, that's Bhagavatam.
That's Bhagavatam.
Maybe elsewhere. Sure, Bhagavatam has. Vincent Jiva Goswami says that the description, because when he, because then later it's lifeless. When he first comes in, he describes the beauty of Vrindavan. And there were cows frolicking here and there and jumping. And so he says that's Aprakat. What he first saw was Aprakat Vrindavan. And then he saw Prakat Vrindavan. By Krishna's grace, first he saw Aprakat Vrindavan. And that's what that Bhagavatam describes. And then when he comes to Nandagram, then he really sees Prakat Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.